Tenancy agreement for landlords in England. What to include in your rental agreement. A robust tenancy agreement is the cornerstone of a successful tenancy. It protects both the landlord and the tenant, so although it is not a legal requirement, everyone benefits from having one in place. This guide aims to help landlords in England to understand the importance of the tenancy agreement, why you need one, what should be included in a rental agreement, and what to do when it comes to ending a tenancy agreement. We've also included a My Deposits case study to illustrate the importance of having a tenancy agreement. What is a tenancy agreement? A tenancy agreement is a binding contract between the tenant and the landlord. It sets out the legal terms and conditions of the tenancy, and any other expectations, clearly and without room for misinterpretation. It also explains what either party can do if the other doesn't keep to their side of the agreement. Without having a tenancy agreement in place, there is no written record of the contract for either party, which can cause misunderstandings and put a strain on the landlord-tenant relationship, especially if expectations aren't met. Why do you need a residential tenancy agreement? As we've already mentioned, although they are not legally required to be in writing, tenancy agreements are important as they are about protecting the legal rights of both parties. This sets everyone up for a good landlord-tenant relationship from the beginning as everything is clear. Here are some of the key reasons why you need a residential tenancy agreement. First, most insurers will insist on a rental agreement being in place before offering landlord insurance. Next, the tenancy agreement details all the terms of the tenancy, which can include more, but not less than the statutory or legal rights and responsibilities. Disputes are more likely where an arrangement is only informal. It is important to note that accelerated eviction procedures can only be used where there is a written agreement. And finally, tenants on benefits will need a tenancy agreement for any claim. The assured shorthold tenancy. The majority of private rented sector landlords in England will use an assured shorthold tenancy. This has recently changed in Wales, while Scotland uses private residential tenancy agreements. An agreement will be in the assured shorthold tenancy, where the following conditions are met. The rent is between £250 and £100,000 per year. The tenants are people rather than an organisation, such as a company. The property will be the tenant's main home. The landlord does not live in the property. The length of the tenancy is between 6 months and 3 years. There are other types of tenancies, including excluded tenancies or licences, assured tenancies and regulated tenancies, but these are far less common than ASDs. Shelter provides information on the different types of private tenancies. Susie Hirschman, head of dispute resolution at My Deposits, says, while some will argue that the tenant signed a license or an assured tenancy, it is often to avoid the legalities around the deposit protection or eviction processes. However, the courts will consider all the facts, and if it looks and feels like an assured shorthold tenancy, that will be what it is, despite the heading on the contract which the tenant has signed. Currently, a tenancy in England can either be fixed term, meaning it is running for a set period of time, periodic, meaning it is running on a week-by-week or month-by-month basis. Under the Renters Reform Bill, there are proposals to move to a system of periodic tenancies, rather than fixed term in England. Both landlords and agents should make sure they are prepared for the changes when they come, and we will keep you updated. Rental agreements in Scotland. Periodic tenancies have been the default tenancy arrangement in Scotland since 2017. This tenancy is open-ended, with tenants able to serve just 28 days' notice to end their agreement and leave the property. If you are a Scottish landlord, you will need a private residential tenancy agreement. Rental agreements in Wales. Under the Renting Homes Act, which came into force in Wales on 1 December 2022, tenants and licences are now known as contract holders, and tenancy agreements have been replaced with occupation contracts. There are two types of contracts. Secure, for the social rented sector, and standard, for the private rented sector. Existing tenancy agreements will convert to the relevant occupation contract on the day of implementation, and landlords have a maximum of 6 months to issue a written statement of the converted occupation contract to their contract holders. Types of tenancy agreements. The government has created a generic model tenancy agreement for assured shorthold tenancies, for use when a landlord and tenant are entering into an assured shorthold tenancy agreement in the private rented sector. There is no legal requirement to use it, and landlords who do plan to use the model agreement are encouraged to also see the government's How to Rent guide. There are other tenancy agreement templates available, but if you do choose to use one, make sure it is from a trusted source, or you may prefer to take legal advice to be on the safe side. AST agreements can be written to reflect the varying and more specific circumstances of tenants, providing more flexibility for landlords and agents, although statutory rights cannot be overridden. Landlord Action, part of the HFIS Group, offers a tenancy document drafting service and can help self-managing landlords tailor their tenancy agreements, either through their checking service or by drafting the agreement in line with the landlord's specific requirements. For agents who would like advice drafting tenancy agreements, premium members of HF Assist, the letting agent helpline, benefit from access to dedicated legal expertise, as well as a resources library containing an extensive range of useful documents and templates, and a tenancy review system. Examples of tenancy agreements. Tenancy agreements for certain kinds of properties, for example houses in multiple occupation, may have different requirements. In these cases, the agreement can be adjusted for things like how many people are going to be renting the property, and the relationships between them. Here are some examples of tenancy agreements. Assured short-hold tenancy for a family or two people who are unrelated. This is for use when renting out the entire property to a family or a couple of friends on one joint tenancy. In this type of tenancy agreement, every adult is equally responsible for meeting the terms of the agreement, including paying the rent. It is designed to be used with or without a security deposit. Joint assured short-hold tenancy, or a group of sharers. This agreement is for use with houses in multiple occupation, when renting a property to three or more people where at least two of them are unrelated to each other. These types of arrangements have their own specific requirements, which the tenancy agreement covers. There is a separate sharer agreement for four or more sharers who are not related to each other. Finally, standard room only, assured short-hold tenancy. This agreement is intended for landlords who are renting out a property to three or more people, at least two of whom are unrelated, and need to comply with stricter houses in multiple occupation regulations. The best way to do this is through a room-only agreement, so that inspections of the communal areas of the property can be carried out whenever you need. What should you include in your residential tenancy agreement? Whatever type of tenancy agreement you have, there are a number of clauses that should be included. These should be written in plain and simple language. We advise that any rental agreement should be as specific as possible and include the following clauses. First, you include name and contact details of the property owner and the tenant. Names and contact details of any person party to the agreement, along with the full address of the property which is being let. This confirms the detail of who is responsible for the property. Second, keeping note of rent payments and payment dates. This means knowing how much the rent will be, how frequently it will be due, and payment dates, how it will be paid and how and when the rent will be reviewed. Next, understanding deposit protection details. This is awareness of the deposit amount and how it will be protected, or if the tenant has been offered and is using a deposit replacement membership, and in what circumstances any money can be withheld from the tenant when the tenancy ends, such as to repair damage caused by tenants and rent arrears. The start date and end date of the tenancy. Date that the tenancy begins, and the agreed length of the rental agreement, if relevant to the region. For example, in Scotland tenancies are open-ended, including any break clause. If ending the tenancy early, break clauses and notice periods. Whether the tenancy can be ended early and how this can be done, including how much notice is required and if there are any costs, these must be transparent and reasonable. A break clause allows the landlord or tenant to end the tenancy early, provided that sufficient written notice has been served beyond a given date. For example, for a 12-month contract, a break clause of 6 months may be included. The exact notice period, the terms of the break clause, and how it can be activated must all be included in the tenancy agreement. The frequency of inspections to the property. How often mid-term inspections to the property will take place. When appliances such as the boiler will be serviced and the minimum amount of notice that will be provided. The repairs and maintenance. Tenant and landlord responsibilities. For things such as repairs including. How and when the tenant should report any damage to you so it can be dealt with promptly. The landlord's statutory responsibilities for, amongst other things, structural repairs such as the gas, electricity, and water installations, which must be kept to the required standard. This can also include how to manage damp, mold, and condensation, which is such a common problem. Total Landlord has produced a tenant checklist. Garden maintenance. If there is a garden, responsibility for garden maintenance should be clear. For example, who is responsible for front and back gardens, trees, shrubs, and borders, mowing, weeding, and general upkeep? This must be reasonable, and it should be clear that tenants must report any damage to areas that may not be their responsibility. For example, fences or sheds. Rules in-house in multiple occupation properties can vary. Bills. Which bills your tenants are responsible for and which you will cover. Include water and other utility bills, council tax, TV license, broadband, or details of service charges. Cleaning detail. How the property should be returned at the end of the tenancy. The tenant is only responsible for returning the property clean to the same standard as when they moved in. Pet clauses. Include a clause on whether pets are allowed in the property or not. Most landlords prohibit pets, but the government's model tenancy agreement has been updated to prevent a no pets blanket ban, and you need to offer clear written reasons for refusing a pet when a request is made, so it's a good idea to include a pet clause in the tenancy agreement. Subletting. Rules on subletting and details of whether other people are allowed the use of the property, and if so, which rooms and for how long. Most standard tenancy agreements do not permit subletting. Smoking clauses. We would advise against permitting smoking in a rental property. But as it is often a common cause for disputes, it is important to include your position on smoking in the property in the tenancy agreement. Nuisance in the property. Include any actions that might increase insurance costs or cause a disturbance to you or the neighbors. For example, playing loud music after certain hours. Use of the property. Outline the use of the property for residential purposes and that the property is not to be used for illegal purposes or for business purposes without consent which cannot be unreasonably withheld. Vacant periods. Include details on what the tenant should do if the property is going to be empty for a specified number of consecutive days. This usually includes turning off the water or leaving the heating on a low setting during the winter months. Specify that the property must always be locked and secure, including using any burglar alarm, when empty, and make sure that you include any measures required by your landlord insurance. Furniture. Whether the property is furnished or unfurnished, and terms around the introduction or removal of furniture in the property, including who is responsible for removal costs if excess furniture is left in the property without permission. Taking possession. Set out how, and why, you may be required to legally repossess the property, by using either Section 8 or Section 21 of the Housing Act 1988, in England and Wales, or Section 33. Additional clauses in a rental agreement. You can also include individually negotiated clauses at the end of the tenancy agreement. For example, relating to decorating a property or when and how the landlord can access the property. These must be fair, reasonable, clearly communicated, and signed by the tenant. Otherwise, they could be seen as unfair and will be difficult to enforce. Any unfair, unreasonable, or illegal clauses will be invalid and any court or adjudicator will simply disregard them. For this reason, a solicitor may be needed to draft additional clauses. It is quite common for landlords and tenants to identify changes after the tenancy has started. And in this scenario, an addendum can be created and signed, which is then simply an addition to the overall AST tenancy agreement. If there is a dispute between you and the tenant at any stage of the tenancy agreement is one of the most important pieces of evidence you will need to provide to an adjudicator, as it outlines both your and the tenant's responsibilities. This is a contract which should be robust and comprehensive, containing anything you may need to rely on at a later date. Example case study. Withholding rent. The following case study involves a tenant withholding rent, and highlights the importance of the tenancy agreement as evidence. Disputed amount, £625. Background. A dispute was raised over unpaid rent and fees for re-letting the property. This followed the tenant's decision to withhold rent and end the tenancy early due to the landlord's extensive delay in completing repairs. The tenant said, "The landlord breached the terms of the tenancy agreement by neglecting their duty to carry out repairs on a defective boiler and faulty electrics. These were grounds for them to end the tenancy, move out of the property and pay no more rent for the remainder of the contract. The landlord's response was that, although the tenant claimed the property was uninhabitable after having no heating or hot water for 8 days, and no electricity for 2 days, they were always kept informed. The repairs were delayed from being completed because of a delay in receiving the parts required to fix the problems. The tenant remained responsible for paying the outstanding rent. However, new tenants were found and moved in 17 days later, so this is the only rent being claimed together with the agent's re-letting fees, which were to be covered by the deposit. What evidence was submitted? The tenant provided email communication between them and the landlord and two gas safety warning notices. The landlord provided a copy of the tenancy agreement and a copy of the tenant's email saying they were moving out early and not paying any more rent. Adjudicator's findings. The landlord had the dangerous fire and boiler disconnected and had arranged for the fire to be removed and the boiler replaced. There was insufficient evidence that the property was uninhabitable. While repairs were required, the tenant may have been able to deduct the cost of any remedial work from the rent if the landlord had refused to get the work done, or there was an unreasonable delay. In this case, the agent had carried out their duty and organized the work in reasonable time, and no tenant has an automatic right to stop paying rent. In line with the terms of the tenancy agreement, the adjudicator found that the tenant was unable to end the tenancy early without the landlord's agreement. Outcome. The landlord was awarded the 17 days outstanding rent plus reasonable re-letting costs, which they had also claimed. Learning points. A tenant has no right to stop paying the rent, and this should be clear in the tenancy agreement. Paying rent is a fundamental part of a tenancy agreement, and only the rule of set off, which involves a very specific process, would support withholding any rent. Always keep written records of communication, and follow up any calls in an email, as these are often key supporting documents for negotiation if there is any dispute. Ending a tenancy agreement early. One way you can end a tenancy early without including a break clause is if the tenant has broken the terms of the tenancy agreement. Typical examples of a breach of the tenancy agreement include falling behind on monthly rent payments, malicious damage to the property, or inappropriate behavior towards other residents. The other way is by mutual agreement, where you come to an arrangement that suits all parties, even if there is no break clause. What is a break clause in a tenancy agreement? As mentioned earlier, the break clause allows either the tenant or the landlord to end the tenancy early, provided that sufficient written notice has been served. There is no standard format for a break clause, but usually it can only be used on or after a specified date. For example, a break clause might say the tenant can end the tenancy 6 months after it starts if they give 1 month's notice. It is important that the break clause is clear. The exact notice period, the terms of the break clause, and how it can be activated must all be included in the tenancy agreement. Susie Hirschman, head of disputes at My Deposits, explains, common problems adjudicators find is the poor drafting of some terms in tenancy agreements, a good example being break clauses, which can be interpreted in different ways and have the unintended effect of being contrary to the original intent. What happens when the tenancy agreement ends? Even if the tenancy has run its course and is ending in line with the dates in the tenancy agreement, it is still a good idea that the landlord and the tenant communicate with one another to confirm that the tenancy is ending, to avoid any misunderstandings. If the tenancy ends, with no new fixed term having been agreed and the tenant is still in the property, then a periodic tenancy comes into effect. This is a rolling tenancy with no fixed end date, which usually runs from month to month, in line with the terms in the original agreement. The statutory notice for ending a periodic tenancy remains unchanged, and the terms and conditions of the periodic tenancy remain the same and can continue indefinitely. However, the landlord can now repossess the property once the correct written notice has been provided. The proposals put forward by the government in the Renters Reform Bill aim to move all tenants on ASDs to a single system of periodic tenancies, which means that tenants will need to give 2 months' notice if they wish to leave. Under the bill, Section 21 will also be abolished, but landlords wishing to repossess their property will be able to use the strengthened Section 8 grounds instead. In summary, the tenancy agreement is a legal contract between you and the tenant, so it is important to take it seriously and make sure it is right for you. With a clear tenancy agreement in place, all parties understand the expectations of them during their tenancy. This reduces the chance of misunderstandings, contributing to a more transparent relationship between landlord and tenant, and ultimately helping to protect your investment. Mike Morgan, Property Redress Scheme, advises that having clear, simple, and easily understood tenancy agreements is key to avoiding disputes with tenants. In addition, make sure that you, or your letting agent, are familiar with what your tenancy agreement actually says. We see a number of cases where landlords and letting agents think their tenancy agreements say particular things, when they don't. Memories can let us down, and it's surprising what the response can be when asking people when they last read their own tenancy agreement. If you are a landlord and would like guidance on tenancy agreements, contact housing law specialists, Landlord Action, who can assist with writing and reviewing tenancy agreements. If you are an agent, contact HF Assist for specialist advice from legal experts.